We're in Psalm 94. We're going to go through this, and then we're going to worship the Lord. One thing that we learn in so many of the Psalms is that the writers of the Psalms, should this be David, we're not too sure, but David did an awful lot. He used to write songs asking God to wipe out people. And we, in our in this dispensation, in our current, in the, I'm going all OCD on you. Hold on. There. That was weird. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, currently in the age of grace, the church age, we're told very clearly in Romans chapter 12, we pray for our enemy. We bless our enemies. We do good things regardless of what they've done. We don't curse, but we bless. And so when we read these Psalms, a lot of times we'll go, oh, well, my goodness, puff, puff. We're not even supposed to think this way at all. But I'm going to kind of ruin a couple things for you tonight. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you for your grace and how amazing it is, considering that you are a consuming fire. You are the judge, and no one has done right by you. All of this makes your grace that much more powerful. And we want to just thank you for that grace, ask you for more grace, knowing we can come to the throne of grace in time of need. But Lord, I pray that tonight we would recognize that it is all your grace, and that you love us so much. And for anyone who will turn to you, Lord, you'll give them everything. And we want to thank you for giving us everything. So Lord, we pray that you would teach us tonight, you'd bless us tonight, and that we would be a blessing to you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? This begins so correctly in that the psalmist knows that it is God's job to avenge. He knows that God is the one who calls for punishment. God is the one who gives punishment. And that when the world comes against us, as the world was coming against us, as some people say that this psalm could have been written during the time of the Babylonian siege on Jerusalem, And some of the horrible things that were done to the people of Israel, naturally for the Assyrian sieges, the Babylonian sieges, and so forth. And so the writer of the psalm knows that, yeah, I mean, we're going to defend ourselves here, but when are you going to stop the wickedness of this world? When are you going to do that? I think, like I said, the first verse, it's, to me, seeing we're not in the middle of all of it, but the first verse is kind of funny. What he's just saying is, God, to whom vengeance belongs, you are the judge, I have a request. It's time for you to judge now. I want you to judge now. And certainly, those of us who would say that this is, how horrible to think that, of anybody, and that they should be judged, and as David would pray, break their teeth in their mouth, or I think it's Psalm 137, 130 something, that as the psalmist prays or sings a song to those of Babylon, and he says, "Happy are those who dash your little ones against a rock." They are in the middle of something that you and I have never experienced. For those of us who have never experienced, say, a government that has come and done things as Germany did in World War II, as they gathered up not just Jews, but others as well. Those that they just thought were, you know, a problem, they beat them in the streets, they put them in concentration camps just for doing nothing at all. So you and I haven't experienced that here in the United States. And so when these things are going on, my question would be the same as the psalmist, like, God, do you see what's going on here? How is it that this horrible stuff can continue? It is time for you to punish these people. So how long is it going to be, God? Well, here's each person who doesn't come to faith in the Lord, they're going to be punished anyway, and they know what their problem is now. But let's look at the whole world anyway. It seems that God still hasn't, he hasn't stood up to judge. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 the reason for that. Because he's not willing that any should perish. And that includes those who have done the worst things. Those who are oppressing people. Those who are the most vile people in this world. God is giving them time. And even so, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, you see that those who had died for their faith are underneath the altar. They're dressed in white, the righteousness of God. And so they, without even any sin, they're talking to God. They say, God, when are you going to avenge us? When will those who have persecuted Christians, those who killed us, when will you judge them? And so I don't think it's a wrong thing for us to say, Lord, when are you going to just end all of this? Because a lot of people are getting hurt by the wicked. But like I said, he is looking at every wicked person and giving them opportunity to come to faith. But in the shoes of the psalm writer, and in you and me, as we deal with, say, wicked governments, well, it's okay to make mention that they are wicked. It's okay to make mention that they will be judged. I would say especially in the case that if we were actually being persecuted, but we're not really being persecuted right now, so we can't feel this the way the writer felt it. So let's just go on. Let's talk about wicked people. They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Wicked people, obviously, as they boast in themselves, they are proud, as it reads back in verse 2. The worst part of this being verse 6 is that they take advantage of the helpless. They kill the helpless. And I can't see anything more despicable than those who would take advantage of helpless people. But also, I can't help but see that, you know, the most helpless, say, in our country, are those who, babies in the womb. I think that's a good example of the wicked, as the wicked would find good reasons to abort babies. And they say, God doesn't see. What do you mean, the Lord God? He has no, this, and you know, you tell people about God, and you say judgment will come. And they say that, you know, we're the crazy ones. But there's a reason that they say the Lord does not see. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. That punishment is not brought speedily to a wicked deed. Therefore, the hearts of men are prone to wickedness. In other words, if you can get away with murder, well, then let's all murder. And they believe they're getting away with it. Where God is patient, where God is, if he's not patient, he's just adding up their punishment. They think that they're getting away with it. Like any time that anybody would just rob a bank, you know, you go there and rob a bank and you take the money, get in your car and you go off and then you evade the police and they can't find you. You believe you've gotten away with something. Just because you didn't get caught. Just because something bad didn't happen. And a lot of times we, Christians, think that those people who do so wickedly in this world, they're getting away with murder. They're getting away with this stuff. And I encourage you to read Psalm 73 regarding that. So sometimes we're just looking at how unfair this whole world is and how you know, why. I mean, and to me, I can't help but bring the political thing into this. But, you know, it's like the liberals are like taking over this state of ours. And I say, God, how come? Why, you know, why is this happening? Why are they getting away with everything? And I think that when we look horizontally like that, we do just like Asaph did in Psalm 73. We just go, God, what use is it that we walk with you? And of course, then you look to their end. And you know that they will be judged. It was when Asaph had gone into the sanctuary that he came to his senses. And that is when he went there to stand before God. Always, always look to the Lord when we're trying to figure this stuff out. And understand, just as I said last Wednesday, I was all over that. Last Wednesday, I said something that I, you know, it wasn't in my notes or anything, but it makes so much sense to me that if we would just read the Word of God, we'd never be disappointed in God. If we just read the Word of God, we would never accuse Him of evil. If we would just read the Word of God. What I mean is that, like, just when, you know, Moses goes in to tell Pharaoh, all right, let him go. And Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let him go. And then he says, in fact, I'm going to make him work harder. And then Moses goes to God and says, God, you blew it. But God had told him, you are going to go to Pharaoh, tell him, let people go. But he's not going to let you go. In other words, Pharaoh did exactly what God said. Had Moses gone, hey, that's just the way God said it. Yeah, it's causing us a little pain, but God said it would happen this way. Well, the same thing here. It's all over the Word of God. The wicked are going to look like they're prospering. The world and its wickedness, they're going to look like they're going to win. In fact, it's going to look like that when Antichrist comes around. So, just understand that all of the wickedness of this world, God sees it, and it's going to be over one day, and we're going to live in a perfect world. A perfect world. And what's amazing is that you and I, Christians, we're invited, not just invited, but we're part of that world. You know, God has chosen us for that world. And so anyway, now the writer, he addresses the wicked. He says, understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? This is, you know, senseless, fools, that's Hebrew for knucklehead. Senseless among the people, fools. You know, he who planted the ear, he's addressing those who say the Lord doesn't see this. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Just use common sense, people. Which, by the way, Proverbs chapter 26, basically, it's the fool chapter of Proverbs, by the way. It says there's really no way to talk to a fool, because fools just don't really care. They don't care to understand anything. And here, this brave soul, you know, shouts out to the fools, calls them what they are. You senseless fools, when will you be wise? Use common sense. Can you hear? You know, God made you. You know, you think that he knows a little bit about hearing? You think he knows a little bit about seeing? He knows right and wrong. He is the one who instructs us. If he instructs us and we do wrongly, do you think he's not going to know? And throughout the Proverbs, we have those that say, when you speak in the hearing of a fool, you know, whether he rages or laughs, there's no peace. Or, you know, when you realize that you're in company of a fool, just be done with it. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Talk to some people. It's like, you know, it's like talking to a carton of eggs, you know? It's like, listen to me. And they just, no, I just don't. It's very frustrating. But blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Now, this he knows that part of our adversity is not just our own sinful nature, just living on a cursed planet, but the things that people do to one another. And yes, we have trouble from one another in this world. Unfortunately, the Jews thought that was their only problem. And that's what got them in more trouble. But anyway, yeah. But if we are willing to learn from the Lord and understand that, hey, you know what? We can get through this until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Everything will be turned right when the Lord returns. And you and I, if we belong to the Lord, as it reads in Luke, that we are, that not a hair of our head will be harmed. The Lord knows those who are his, and he will keep us. He will keep us from harm. That doesn't mean nobody's going to kill us. But we belong to him. And if we are the ones who we want the Lord to instruct us, do you really want to hear from God? Do you really want him to correct? It's an amazing thing how often people are looking for answers. I'm talking about people who go to church with their troubles, and they come and you show them the Word of God. And they go, yeah, that's not it. That's not it. But if we are willing to listen to the Word of God, then we're going to be blessed. We're going to be very blessed people. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. This is what I believe to be the victory of the whole psalm, because we would call out, who is going to save me from this? As Paul would say regarding his own sinful flesh, who will save me from this body of death, O wretched man that I am? And his answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that nobody's going to stand up against the wickedness in this world. I mean, you can try it. We have all of this, you can protest all you want, but it's not going to do a thing. Unless the Lord is your help. And so the psalmist understands that God is his only help. And I want us to know that, even though we have the church, we have one another, we have the family of God, and we help one another, we care for one another. But even Paul, when he was in prison, as he was dying, he had a handful of friends left. And he said, nobody stood with me at my last defense, but the Lord stood with me. And while this is what you do, don't depend on your brother to hold you up, but be a dependable person and hold your brother up. God has called us to bear one another's burdens. And we should be doing that, but we will fail one another. And when we come to that place where we are feeling like we are in the greatest need, it would seem that we've lost everybody. Well, God might want to be proving to you that he was all you needed in the first place. And I would say, not to the exclusion of your brothers and sisters, not to say, oh, good, now I'm going to go isolate myself. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there will be times when you are isolated against your will. And when that happens, then you realize it's been God all along that's been holding you up. And just as when we set our eyes on the Lord, as Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So the psalmist, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. Because you have compassion on me. You see me. You're going to hold me up. I can't hold me up. My brothers and sisters are not going to hold me up. Nobody's going to hold me up. But you will. And the psalmist is just like you and me, or maybe just like me, in the multitude of my anxieties. Your comforts delight my soul. It's always, always in the Lord. It always comes back to that place. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? Stop there for a second. I'm going to talk about that. I mean, I can only really relate to the United States here. But what about evil laws that the United States... This is the throne of iniquity, devising evil by law. I mean, one day it's not going to be legal to be a Christian. Do they have fellowship with you? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you, God? Well, it's interesting because, so many of the laws and the so much of, say, what the government is, they say that these are very righteous things and very godly things. Back to abortion. I didn't want to make this an abortion study at all. But it's having pity and having mercy on women. So we'll kill babies, you see. And so they look at it as a good thing. But the fact is this, the Roe versus Wade law that came into effect in the 70s, Well, that was an evil law. And the fact is, it does not have fellowship with God. And so, keeping in mind that there are two types of people in the world, and that is those who know God and those who don't. And you can tell those who don't by the things that they think are important. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. And so was the case in Germany in World War II. So has the case been against Christians in many nations. And I'm not at all, I don't mean to be the great messenger of good news, but I just don't see Christians faring very well in the future in this country. That's okay. Because I'm going to heaven. And everybody who kills Christians, unless they get really blessed like Paul did, they're going to hell. So we're winning the big prize, even as they persecute. And you know, and by knowing the Lord, it's not going to make you any more money. It's not going to make you popular. It's not going to help you along in this world. It's not going to give you a leg up at that job you wanted in Hollywood. But you will have life, eternal life. Because this world offers nothing. So they gather together against the life of the righteous, condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense. And my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. The plain and simple point of all of this, for the writer of this psalm and for us when we get oppressed in this world, if we experience that, then the answer is this. Hey, this is temporary. God's going to cut him off. This is temporary. The innocent will not suffer anymore. This is temporary. And in this time that is temporary, just as it reads in verse 19, the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. And in verse 22, the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. Refuge is a hiding place, a place to be kept safe from all of this. Which, by the way, that's why, of course, I encourage, well, the Bible encourages this, quiet time with God every day. You go out in the world. I don't know what kind of jobs you all have. Some of you all have to work in the world. And it's always good to go to that hiding place first. Be quiet with God. Let Him speak to you. Let Him touch you. And then you go out there and take on the world. And the next day, go back to your hiding place. And understand that this is all temporary. Don't get bent. It's all temporary. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, yes, one day you will judge. And I'm so grateful. We are all so grateful that you have not judged us, but Jesus was judged at the cross for us. We ask you, Lord, as this world becomes more and more wicked and better at it, we ask you that you would save some from the fire, particularly those people that we know, because, Lord, we know that you have put them in our path. And I pray that we would love them, we would open our mouths and speak to them about you. That they could live with you forever. But Lord, the worldly systems, the governments, all of these things, just the wickedness is just amazing, God. And we look forward to your kingdom, the government beyond your shoulders. And everything will be right. That's awesome, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes forward. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.